ज्ञान तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्चन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Shri Varshabhana Videvi Dayataya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayata Dasa, who is favored by Srimati Radharani, and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy, and the deliverer of the science of Krishna.
Madhuryo jvala premarhya Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who delivered devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami.
Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupa Anuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So today, as we know, is the divine appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, of course, the founder of the Gaudiya Math. And his preaching, in especially the 1920s, beginning at the turn of the last century, about 100 years ago, just about, his preaching at that time was so strong that there was no chance for non-devotional ideas to flourish, at least in West Bengal, where the headquarters, Sri Mayapur Dham, was located. And he spent so many years working very, very hard to establish that institution, which inspired our own Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we're all sitting here today because of his very difficult efforts. He used to say, and therefore Srila Prabhupada also used to say, and therefore we're also saying, that one has to shed gallons of one's own blood in order to deliver even one other conditioned soul from this material world. How many gallons of blood are there in a human body? Any doctors here? I think, How much? 5 liters, I'm told. So you can imagine what it means to shed gallons of your own blood. You have to put yourself out to that degree. He said this. He chose his words very carefully. We'll read a few essays that he wrote in which you'll see that for yourself. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching in general had a few characteristics that we can just mention in passing. As has already been stated in his pranama mantras, he did not tolerate any statement that was against the principles enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. That was maybe his chief characteristic. He is called Narasingha Guru. Why is he called Narasingha Guru? Does anyone know? I mean, there's no definitive answer as far as I'm aware, but... Yeah, the stereotype is that whenever he would see Mayavadi sannyasis coming, he would just harass them and yell at them until they gave up, to give up their ideas. So Narasingha, the idea is that he would display this kind of anger. I was thinking this morning, another reason we can call him Narasingha Guru is because, like Lord Narasingha, he is very expert in removing all the obstacles to pure devotional service. Bhakti Vikna Vinashaka Narasingha. And this was the emphasis of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching. He would he focused, of course, on two groups mainly, or two groups of groups, we could say. The caste Goswamis on one hand, those who said that one is a Goswami by birth and not necessarily by controlling the senses, and those who are Sahajiyas, especially he focused his transcendental, focused intelligence, pointed arguments at those who were actually trying to evade or exploit the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, they try to do both at the same time. Try to exploit him while evading him. So this is Sahajiya. Those who take devotional service to be a very casual matter. And those of us who are residing or even visiting Vrindavan, we can study some of the things that he had to say about pure devotional service in order to recognize pretty quickly by his divine grace that we don't really know that much about Srimati Radharani and her confidential affairs. Now, by way of glorifying His Divine Grace, I'm going to share with you a Bengali prayer that came virtually out of nowhere. This I'm reading from the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava of Bhaktivikas Swami. And this entry is titled Srila Prabhupada Vandana, a prayer to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada in this case means Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Originally titled, the footnotes here, originally titled Thakurer Pratinivedan, this Bengali song was written by Sri Gopal Govinda Mahanta of Sylhet, then was part of Assam, now is Bangladesh, before the Gaudiya Math preachers had ever gone there. Just think about this. This person wrote a prayer to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur without ever having met the devotees of the Gaudiya Math. Such was the influence of his preaching at that time. He was unknown to Gaudiya Math devotees until this homage arrived by post during the annual Gaudiya Math festival of 1927. This is in the heyday of the Gaudiya Math, the 1920s especially, late 20s. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati accepted the composition, and thereafter it was regularly sung throughout the Gaudiya Math institution. So I'm going to skip the Bengali in the interest of saving time. I'll just read the English translations. Glory, glory, glory to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur, the great personage and devotee situated on the highest level of devotional service. He is most merciful and is the means of success for the fallen and hopeless. It's too beautiful in Bengali to give up. Let me just... Jayare Jayare Jai Shri Paramahamsa Mahashaya Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakura Jai Paramakurunamai Dinahina Agati Ragati. Then he says, arising in Nilachala Puri, he came to Sri Gaura Mandala, where he manifested loving devotional service to Krishna and destroyed the living entity's fear of material existence. As we know, he was born in Jagannath Puri on this day. Although I have no ability, I sing your glories, but I will be able to do so if you empower me. Always executing spiritual praxis, that means practices, for the benefit of the world, you preach pure devotional service in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. I see in you the qualities of Sri Narottam Das Thakur of Keturi Dham. Here there's a footnote. The gurus of both Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Narottam Das Thakur were reluctant to give initiation, yet were practically forced to do so by the sincere determination of their disciples. Srila Lokanath Goswami, the guru of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji were recluses, each with only one disciple. Yet in both cases, their one disciple's preaching was vast and widespread. Srila Narottam Das Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati were seminal acharyas who made the unique and lasting contributions to the Gaudiya Sampradaya by initiating thousands of disciples and penning invaluable literary works. He also came in the same family, by the way, Dattas. Narottam Datta, Kedarnath Datta. Hearing from you the crux of all scriptural conclusions, whereby you stop the deception of mundane wranglers, I am simply astonished. This person never met the Gaudiya Math devotees before. Devotees become anxious because all bona fide conceptions of pure devotional service were engulfed by superstitions. But by shooting the arrow of proper scriptural conclusions, this is an analogy given in the Bhagavatam also. In fact, there's a word for it, girbana. One's speech is like an arrow. So. By shooting the arrow of proper scriptural conclusions, you cut those superstitions to pieces with increase the devotee's joy. Considering that the clouds of smarta opinions had covered the sunshine of pure devotional service, you churned the ocean of revealed scriptures. Thus, from all directions arose strong winds of correct scriptural conclusions to dispel those clouds. Very poetic. Smarta mata jaladhara. Shuddha bhakti ravikara
아차디로 바비아 안타레 샤스트르신두 만탄 만탄에테 스시드한테 전자와테 우라이로 우라이라 dig digantare.
You established so many mathas in so many places to teach the jivas guileless loving service to Krishna. The Vaishnava inhabitants of these mathas constantly distribute to the world the nectary and descriptions of the qualities of Lord Sri Hari. You bring the clear flow of the Ganga of pure devotional service to cool the lives of those burning in material existence. You send renounced preachers to every country to distribute the praises of Hari's qualities. We're sitting here because we're the recipients of the mercy of one of such preachers. It was his vision to see that this thing went worldwide, and his father's vision also. Like Lord Gaudahari, who previously smashed Mayavad and made the inhabitants of Varanasi into Vaishnavas, you too are expert in understanding and explaining the subtleties of Vaishnava philosophy. On the basis of scripture, you established that devotional service is the essence of Daiva Varnashrama Dharma, and that if one is against Krishna Bhakti, his performance of fruitive activities, practice of mystic yoga, or cultivation of knowledge is all worthless. You established the glories of Gaura Mandala Bhumi by traversing it in the association of devotees and everywhere preaching that Gaura Mandala is effulgent with prema and non-different from Vrajamandala. His father had done this. His father, all of them together, they worked to uncover the holy town of Navadvip, which was not known before them. You forgave all the faults of those atheists of Kulia who behaved abominably toward you. Thus you announced to the world that the prerequisite for always glorifying Sri Hari is the principle of being more tolerant than a tree. In the Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha, you are decorated with the title of Patraraj, President. You renounced everything to bring auspiciousness to the world. Indeed, you are ever attached to doing good for the people of the universe. Those who have read Bhagavad Gita, how many people here read Bhagavad Gita every day? Raise your hand if you study. One person, two, three, four, okay, a few people, not enough. If you read Bhagavad Gita regularly, then you know. How many times does the phrase Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha appear in Bhagavad Gita? It's repeated. There are several phrases in Bhagavad Gita that are repeated quite a few times, because those are the important things. They're going to be on the test. So this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha, always engaged in doing good for others. You cannot do good for others until you've done good for yourself. Therefore, he emphasized so much this pure devotional service, okay, but purification of devotional service. This is the real thing. Anartha Nivritti. Therefore, I compared him, Narasingha. You performed welfare activities so that living entities could attain the highest benefit of service to Sri Krishna, whereby the disease of material life becomes far removed and enjoyment of fruitive activities is destroyed, enabling one to attain the lotus feet of Sri Hari. You have to be willing to destroy your enjoyment of fruitive activities. Not many people are willing to do that. I met a doctor here in Vrindavan once, Russian, old lady. She told me that every time I get a patient, I ask this patient, you can have one of two things. You have two choices. Which one would you take? Choice number one, you have all material enjoyment in this world, everything exactly according to your wishes, and then you go back to Godhead at the end. Sounds pretty good, right? Option number two, you go back to Godhead in 1 minute. She said, no one ever takes Option number two, nobody. She said, not big sannyasis, not gurus, nobody does it. So here he's glorifying Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati because he offers welfare activities to living entities by which they can destroy their fruitive activities. Actually, one of his disciples explained Ganesh, what we call, especially in South India, he's called Vinayaka. Vinayaka. What does Vinayaka mean? V. The upasarga V in Sanskrit means two things. It means either Visheshana or Vigamana. You're either going in the wrong direction or you're specifying whatever is being qualified by that prefix. So, Nayaka. Nayaka means Neta, somebody who leads you. Nayati. Vinayaka. He says, means he's leading you, yes, but he's leading you astray. Vigata, he's leading you astray. Ganesh, why? Because he removes all the obstacles for siddhi, riddhi, labha, tushta, all these things. Happiness in the material world. Ganesh is the one who actually affords us all these. This is why he's so popular. So, but he's actually Vinayaka because he's by entangling you further in material activities and so-called material happiness, he's actually leading you in the wrong direction. We don't like to say this in public so much, especially in Maharashtra, but this is the fact. So, all right, we'll go on. To awaken the living entities sleeping in ignorance, you send the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, messengers of Lord Vishnu, house to house. Has anyone ever gone house to house to awaken people to Krishna consciousness? Raise your hand if you've gone house to house. Not enough people raising their hands here. Neither for the books, neither for the Sankirtana. House to house. Just like Nitai, whose appearance day was a few days ago, and Haridas. They used to do this as the agents. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preach Krishna consciousness far and wide, but he actually did it through representatives such as Nitai and Haridas and others. So in the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to preach Krishna consciousness on a world scale, but actually the work was done by his son, who got the foundation built here in India in the form of the Gaudiya Math, out of which at least one ripe fruit came, Srila Prabhupada. These preachers call out loudly, brothers, arise, arise, there's no more time. Just worship Krishna. There really is no more time. We think, when we're young especially, we think, well, I got my whole life ahead of me. I can do this when I get old. They don't know that it's not so easy to learn things when you're old, and it's certainly not easy to do things when you're old. You have to do it now, right now. Today, just after class. This is the point. Jabalaga tanamaya tapana vyape tabalaga karihari seva. As long as your body is in good working order, you have a sound mind and body, you have to use it now. You have to get your samskars created now because this is what takes you into your next body. All the cumulative impressions of this entire lifetime. Where are they taking you? Do you know? What is your trajectory? So he says like this. These devotees, they go preaching from house to house and say, wake up, get up, there's no time. You can die any minute. What is that? Nalini dalagata jalamati taralam tadvad jivitam atishaya chapalam. Just like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Life is very tenuous like this. One of my godbrothers, just a few days ago, he was sleeping. He went to bed one day and he didn't wake up. Why he didn't wake up? Because there was a fire and he died in the fire. He was fine. Good health. Everything okay. You can't predict what will happen or when or how. Fate is like this. Maya. She's got this trident and she's holding it to pierce us all. We don't know that part. The trident represents the tapatraya, threefold miseries. Okay. The glories of the infallible Lord flow like honey from your lotus mouth. Hearing your ambrosial speeches soothes the life air, dispels the darkness of ignorance, and drives far away heartfelt pain. Has anyone had heartfelt pain here? These instructions drive away that pain. The instructions of a Mahatma, Mahanta, Sheshe Mahanta Guru. Srila Prabhupada glorified his guru in this way. Great spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The glories of the Supreme Lord flow like honey from his lotus mouth. So it soothes the life air, dispels our dark ignorance, and drives away our pain. Oh, great personality, I know that in your heart there is not even a drop of desire for personal glorification. Your qualities are like a musician holding the veena of my voice, under whose control I play as he directs me. So he sounds like he's surrendering, this unknown person. I have heard from sadhus and gurus that by glorifying the qualities of devotees, living entities may be delivered. By following various practices of devotional service, life becomes successful, and the ocean of material existence is happily crossed. Krishna bhakti samudaye janma shafal hai. Janma shafal hai. E bhava sagar tare sukhe. Thus I am trying to glorify you in the manner of a dwarf attempting to catch the moon. I am fallen and wretched, but you do not see the faults of others. So by the strength of your qualities, please forgive me. If we receive mercy from our feeble attempts at devotional service, it's not because of our qualification, it's because of their qualification. They are so merciful. Unbelievable mercy. Shri Gauranga Parishada Thakura Bhakti Vinoda Dinahina Patitera Bandhu Kalitamo Vinashite Anilena Avanite Tomava Lanka Purnaindu. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, an associate of Lord Chaitanya and friend of the fallen, brought you into this world. All glories to the Grahasthas, those who were real Grahasthas, because you never know who's coming. We heard very nicely from Vaishnava Maharaj yesterday the importance of Garbhadhana Samskara, because that determines everything. What kind of jiva you will attract depends on your consciousness. So this is our task now. When we are absorbed in grahastha life, that's okay, but make sure you understand this point. It is your Krishna consciousness and the changes to your own samskaras that determine the trajectory of your children. And somebody has to give birth to these acharyas. They want to come in here, but somebody has to be qualified to receive them. This is the point. You are the spotless full moon for destroying the darkness of Kali Yuga. Why full moon? Why not sun? Yes, the moon is cooling. The sun can, at least in Krura Graha, the sun is considered to be in astrology. And the sun can burn you. But from the moon comes what? Huh? Yes, ojas. The soothing energy, but soothing energy. That's not something you can get just anywhere. Krishna talks about that in Bhagavad Gita. Kripa kara vitarana prema sudha anukshana matiya urhuka jivagana harinama sankirtane nachuka jagata ane vaishnava dasera nibedane. Please continue to ceaselessly distribute the mercy and nectar of pure devotional service. Let all living entities become intoxicated with it. Let all the people of the world dance in Harinama Sankirtana, This is the request of the servant of the devotees. Very nice prayer. Very nice prayer. It reminds us of what Prahlad prays in the fifth canto. Swasti astu vishvasya kala prasidatam. If you go to Mathura Janmasthan and climb the steps to the big temple there at Krishna's Janmapeed, you'll see this verse written on the over the doorway of that temple. Swasti astu vishvasya. May the whole universe be auspicious. Kala prasidatam. And may the demons, the envious, be pacified. Manashta bhadram. What is the next line? No. Before that. Second line. It's escaping me now. Jayantu bhutani shivam mithodhya. That let all living beings think of each other's welfare. We discussed this earlier. How can the demons think of each other's welfare? They never. Commentators on this verse say, observe. Therefore, manashta bhadram pajadadar hokshaje. They have to perform devotional service, and then their minds will become auspicious. Then they can think of each other's welfare. Then the demons even will become pacified, and then the whole universe will become auspicious. Now, who has to do this? We have to do it. Jare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, wherever you go, you are expected to do something. You have responsibilities, whether you realize it or not. Every human interaction, is it going to elevate this person or not? We have to try. We're flawed in so many ways. Actually, as we said earlier, we're only being carried by divine grace. But when they see that we are trying to perform this task that we've been entrusted with, then they will give us their mercy. So he's Manashta Bhadram Pajadara Rokshaje Aveshyatam No Matirapyahitiki. Prahlad says, may even our minds be suffused or enter deeply into this mentality of doing good for the entire universe. Once I was in Kashi, Banaras, maybe it was in Asighat, I think. Those who know Banaras will know where this is. So I saw one man, he's going all along the ghat, all along the bank of the river on the Banaras side. There are little shrines here and there. You see them all over India. Little orange. Hanuman is there, Ganapati is there. In Kashi you have a few others also. You have Saraswati, you have so many others, gods and goddesses. Vishnu also, Lord Shiva. So he's doing puja in every single one of them. I saw this when I was bathing. And so finally when I came out, he was right there. So I asked him, what are you doing? I said, why are you doing this? I asked him. He said, I'm not doing this for my benefit. I'm doing this jagat kalyan ke liye, asnekaha. He said, I'm doing this for the benefit of the entire universe. This is a devotee. Devotee thinks like this. So this anonymous person had seen these qualities of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It would appear just by the great success and the fame that Gaudiya Math had achieved due to his great efforts in preaching Krishna consciousness. So he's written these wonderful words, and they still sing this in the Gaudiya Math. It's a very, very nice prayer. And now, we mentioned we were running out of time, but we have a few minutes, so I'm going to choose a short selection here, which anyone in any religious institution will be able to appreciate. We're in ISKCON. ISKCON is a society. And we know that there are difficulties in creating a society. There are difficulties in maintaining a society. It's not so easy. So he wrote an article. There's just only a part of it. It's a much longer essay from The Harmonist in January of 1932. The article is entitled Putana. This is just an excerpt. There's much more, and I I highly recommend that you read it. Many of you have already read it. Sri Krishna manifests his eternal birth, the pure cognitive essence of the serving soul, who is located above all mundane limitations. King Kamsa is the typical aggressive empiricist, ever on the lookout for the appearance of the truth for the purpose of suppressing it before it has time to develop. This is no exaggeration of the real connotation of the consistent empiric position. The materialist has a natural repugnance for the transcendent. He is disposed to think that faith in the incomprehensible is the parent of dogmatism and hypocrisy in the guise of religion. We hear this all the time. Why do people say, I'm spiritual but not religious? Why do they say like this? Why are people not religious at all or not spiritual at all? All they see is the abuse of religion. That's all they know. So the only thing they can identify faith with is this abuse. This is very, very common. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, out of his causeless mercy, made it one of his chief aims to address these anarthas in the living beings and to relieve living beings of these kinds of misconceptions. So a materialist is also equally under the delusion that there's no real dividing line between the material and the spiritual. Elsewhere he said, we give the importance due to spiritual things to matter, and we give the importance of matter to spiritual things, which are actually important. You understand what this means? We treat material things as if they were as important as the eternal. And we treat the eternal thing as if it was inconsequential as the material. This is the idea. He strengthened his delusion by the interpretation of scriptures by persons who were like-minded with himself. In other words, rascals. The kinds of people that Prabhupada used to say, I kick on your face with boot. This includes all the lexicographic interpreters. The lexicographical interpretation is upheld by Kamsa as the real scientific explanation of the scriptures and is perfectly in keeping with his dread of and aversion for the transcendental. Now, what does this mean? That's a big word, lexicography. Anybody know what it means? Somebody here. Few. Basically, a lexicographer is the person who writes dictionaries. They're supposed to be big scholars. Actually, this is something I've reflected on because as a translator, I found that you don't really know what words mean. We have commentaries in order to tell us what words mean in any given shloka. The dictionary is not enough, not only because with a language as old as Sanskrit, you can have at least, you know, 3 or 4 dozen different interpretations of that word, but really the authority is the acharya. Why do I say this? Because if you study dictionaries, you will see the lexicographers themselves, those who compile dictionaries, they have to give some attestation. They have to show, how do we know that this word means what it means? They will say this word comes from, you know, the 17th century, it was used for, you know, to refer to this or that. So in Sanskrit, our acharyas do the same thing. They're referring to standard dictionaries that all the acharyas accept. But sometimes they just say that a word that you would think you already know the meaning, but it means actually something else in that context. We depend on acharyas. They are the ones who arbit all meaning. And because acharyas are the arbiters of all meaning, therefore the spiritual master is also the arbiter of all meaning. He is the one who decides. What does a word mean? Srila Prabhupada sometimes uses standard English words in non-standard ways. This is why devotees also do so. Anyway, so this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying here. I should just read because we're running out of time. So he says, his point is, these lexicographical interpreters are employed by Kamsa in putting down the first suspected appearance of any genuine faith in the transcendental. King Kamsa knows very well that if the faith in the transcendental is once allowed to grow, it is sure to upset all his empiric prospects. There is historical ground for such misgivings. Accordingly, if the empiric domination is to be preserved intact, it would be necessary not to lose a moment to put down the transcendental heresy the instant it threatens to make its appearance in earnest. King Kamsa, acting on this traditional fear, is never slow to take scientific precaution of deputing empiric teachers of the scriptures backed by the resources of dictionary and grammar and all empiric subtleties to put down, by show of specious arguments based on hypothetical principles, the true interpretation of the eternal religion revealed by the scriptures. Are you following this? It's tough language, I know. He's saying, at the first appearance of any genuine faith in the spiritual, people who are like Kamsa, they try to suppress that faith with some sort of appeal to pseudo-scientific or pseudo-objective reality. This is the point. They don't like that faith can flourish at all because it threatens their aims. Kamsa is strongly persuaded that faith in the transcendental can be effectively put down by empiricism if prompt and decisive measures are adopted at the very outset. He attributes the failure of atheism in the past to the neglect of the adoption of such measures before the theistic fallacy has had time to spread among the fanatical masses. All right, I'm going to skip ahead because we're just running out of time. His point in commenting in this way is that Putana represents these teachers who will try to steer your faith in a different trajectory than Prabhupada steers it. This is the point. Then he says some very interesting things. It is not from any deliberate opposition to the ordained clergy that... here we go. The churches... The church that has the best chance of survival in this damned world is that of atheism under the convenient guise of theism. You will secure the flourishing of an institution, a religious institution, if you can introduce atheism in the name of your philosophy. That will ensure that the institution goes on. This is what he's saying. Is not from, therefore, the churches have always proved the staunchest upholders of the grossest form of worldliness, from which even the worst of the non-ecclesiastical criminals are found to recoil. In other words, we see abuses among religious people that would shock even hardened criminals. That's what he's saying. It is not from any deliberate opposition to the ordained clergy that these observations are made. The original purpose of the established churches of the world may not always be objectionable, but no stable religious arrangement for instructing the masses has yet been successful. Now, mind you, he's writing all of this at a time that he's personally working very hard, shedding gallons of blood to establish a religious institution. This is the irony. The Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in pursuance of the teachings of the scriptures, enjoins all absence of conventionalism for the teachers of the eternal religion. It does not follow that the mechanical adoption of the unconventional life by any person shall make him a fit teacher of religion. Regulation is necessary for controlling the inherent worldliness of conditioned souls. But no mechanical regulation has any value even for such a purpose. The bona fide teacher of religion is neither any product of nor favorer of any mechanical system. In his hands, no system has likewise the chance of degenerating into a lifeless arrangement. In other words, as long as you've got a pure devotee on hand, your institution will be safe. Because he's the adhyaksha. This is the idea. The mere pursuit of fixed doctrines and fixed liturgies cannot hold a person to the true spirit of doctrine or literature. The idea of an organized church in an intelligible form indeed marks the close of the living spiritual movement. The great ecclesiastical establishments are the dikes and the dams to retain the current that cannot be held by any such contrivance. They indeed indicate a desire on the part of the masses to exploit a spiritual movement for their own purpose. One of my very senior god sisters, who was once Prabhupada's servant, believe it or not, told me that she prays that she can always assist Srila Prabhupada in his preaching movement life after life, but only in the beginning of that movement. Because we see that a spiritual movement, as it grows and flourishes through preaching, preaching attracts karma and jnana. And once the karma and jnana is attracted, it has to be stored somewhere. It will be stored in the institution. And then from that point on, the institution attracts people who are looking for karma and jnana rather than Krishna. This is the problem. Therefore, the small things, grassroots things, beginning things, this is the healthy position. This is what he's saying here, he's implying at least. So, they also unmistakably, that is to say religious institutions, they unmistakably indicate the end of the absolute and unconventional guidance of the bona fide spiritual teacher. The people of this world will understand preventive systems. They have no idea at all of the unprevented positive eternal life. Law is necessary where love has already failed. That's really the essence of what he's getting at here. We have so many official institutions and so many laws within those institutions, but they all can do a poor job of replacing love. Really, love has to be there. This is the point. Okay. Neither can there be any earthly contrivance for the permanent preservation of the life eternal on this mundane plane on the popular scale. Small scale, you can maybe do it sometimes. On the popular scale, no. Those are therefore greatly mistaken who are disposed to look forward to the amelioration of the worldly state in any worldly sense from the worldly success of any really spiritual movement. Worldly success. It is these worldly expectants who become the patrons of the mischievous race of pseudo-teachers of religion, the Putanas, whose congenial function is to stifle the theistic disposition at the very moment of its suspected appearance. Not the moment of its appearance, the moment of its suspected appearance. They're very vigilant, and they're everywhere. Prabhupada said there are demons even in ISKCON. He said this. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he knows this. He experienced. This is written in 1932. He was beginning to see some of the cracks that would eventually split the Gaudiya Math in the form of personal ambition. What did Srila Prabhupada say about personal ambition? Anyone know a quote? Personal ambition will ruin everything, Prabhupada said. Whole institution. So, but the real theistic disposition can never be stifled by the efforts of those Putanas. The Putanas have power only over the atheist. So understand very clearly from this statement, if you feel threatened by the efforts of these Putanas, or if you are influenced by Maya for that matter, it is because there is some degree of atheism remaining within your heart. Atheism. He put it very clearly, as he characteristically always does. There's a reason that Srila Prabhupada was so clear and forceful in his preaching. It's because he was the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who did Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. He did not tolerate any pseudo-spirituality, hypocrisy, in a word. We have a word for it in English. It's called hypocrisy. So, the Pujanas have power only over the atheist. It is a thankless but salutary task which they perform for the benefit of their unwilling victims. As soon as the theistic disposition proper makes its appearance in the pure cognitive essence of the awakened soul, the Pujanas are decisively silenced at the very earliest stage of their encounter with the newborn Krishna. Remember? He's talking about Pujana and Krishna. What he's saying here is, in essence, that when there is pure Krishna consciousness, then nothing will faze you. We have Srila Prabhupada's books. It is only because of Srila Prabhupada's books that we can see why, you know, Mayavadi businessman from Coimbatore, for example, is not teaching bona fide spirituality and cannot help us. It's only because of Srila Prabhupada. It's only because of his books. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis. When asked by a reporter, what will happen to the Hare Krishna movement when you die? Srila Prabhupada immediately answered, without missing a beat, I will never die. I will live forever in my books. And as we know, the follower lives with him, but you have to follow. That means you have to read. It means you have to hear. Hearing means acting, but acting means hearing also. If you have to hear. So to keep Srila Prabhupada in the center of this institution and to keep this institution spiritual and healthy as it was originally intended, we have to keep Srila Prabhupada's books in the center. Where is the center? It's in each of our hearts. Every day we have to hear from Srila Prabhupada. Then we can be safe. We can feel safe. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's so many things we can say about this and about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur generally. But Srila Prabhupada, in exactly the way that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur amplified the intentions of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada amplified the intent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and we have to do the same. So he wrote these books for us. He lives forever within his books as long as we are connected with his books, hearing and repeating and following these books. Then everything can go on nicely and will continue to flourish. Otherwise, there's every likelihood, given what we've heard this morning from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's every likelihood that we ourselves will corrupt the very mission that we purport to be expanding. This is the great danger. One godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, his name was Jati Shekhar. I believe it was Jati Shekhar. I used to live in Cuttack, Orissa, one time in the 1980s. He was there. And someone else had asked him, what was the problem that created the destruction of the Gaudiya Math? What was it that led them to fight like this and just everything finished, fragmented? He answered immediately, and he answered in one word. He said, Adhikara Ulankana. Adhikara Ulankana. Indians will understand that this means they overstepped their qualification. They had a higher estimation of their own position. Adhikar means prerogative in English. Prerogative in the sense that it's something you are allowed to do, but the reason you're allowed to do it because you're able to do it. Your qualification, adhikar. So adhikara ulankana, to overstep that adhikar. That is a flaw, Krishna says. It's considered to be a good quality. The ideal is that whatever you're able to do, you do not attempt to do more than you're able to do, and do not settle with less than you're able to do. Be right on the target. This is adhikar. So adhikar ulankana. We have to watch out for this. Srila Prabhupada said, we in ISKCON, we have nothing to fear from outside. The only thing we have to fear is from inside. And this, taking note of this example before us of the Gaudiya Math, there's a reason the Gaudiya Math failed. Taking advantage of this example and learning from this example, we have to be on constant guard against this adhikar ulanghana, because that is the primary characteristic of the prakriti sahajiya, the person who takes devotional service to be very casual, the person who believes that he's very highly qualified to enter into things that he actually should not even be hearing about. So, as we said, as long as we pray to our great acharyas, and particularly from Srila Prabhupada, and stay connected with him in the manner that he himself recommended, by hearing from his divine grace every day, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chite Te Kori Aikya Arana Kori Humani Asha, means that thing only. Do not distract with anything else. Just focus on the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Then you'll get Sri Guru Charane Rati. And Eshe Uttama Gati, which is the best thing you could hope for. And Jai Prashade Pure Sarva Asha. Whatever you could desire is fulfilled. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj Ki Jai. I should mention, today is also the appearance or disappearance day? Yeah, of Gaura Govinda Maharaj. So there will be some festival. It's already been announced at Mangalarati. So I don't really have enough adhikar to say much about him. I didn't have any of his association. But we can attend the program later on in the morning. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.